Hey everyone, this is Kevin Kleitches with the People Passionate Podcast, and today's guests are Keith Wellborn and PJ Barnes, two guys who moved to LA from North Carolina to pursue their craft. Keith and PJ are co-creators of an entertainment company called Screw Up TV, where they make comedy skits, short films, and they also dance really well. In our conversation, we talk about how making the move to LA and leaving the comfort of their North Carolina home was daunting, and how they make ends meet in LA, and also how they continue to work on their craft, literally while they're working a regular job. One of my favorite parts of the conversation is when we discussed overcoming rejection and failure, and why it's so important to not let others discourage you. I think you guys are going to like this. Here it is. What's up, guys? How you guys doing?
What's going on, man?
What up, Kevin?
Mr. Kevin.
Doing pretty well. So for those listening, I am here today with Keith Wellborn and PJ Barnes, who are good friends of mine, and they're also co-creators of a entertainment company called Screw Up TV. So you recently moved to California to pursue acting, right?
Yeah, we just moved out here about 3 months ago from the East Coast so we can just kind of expand with our whole Screw Up TV, like entertainment thing we've been doing. And it's been going pretty well.
Okay, so that person that was just talking, that's Keith.
That's Keith. Yeah, hi. That's Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith.
I'm PJ. I'm the one. I'm the other guy. I'm the other one.
Awesome. Okay, so you guys formed Screw Up TV while you were living in North Carolina, and then you decided to go to LA and you actually pursued it. So I kind of want to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, man. Like Keith was saying, we just moved out here 3 months ago. We pretty much dropped everything we had going for us, and you know, like at the time, we had a lot of good things going for us, but we saw potential and an opportunity to do more of kind of like what we wanted to do out here. So we packed our stuff, drove out here, moved North Hollywood, and like, look, we can link up here and start kind of from the ground up again. In college, when a lot of creative groups get together and work together, they all face the same decision, you know, like after school, do we split up or do we kind of do what we're sure. doing? And so after everybody kind of like graduated and we're kind of looking to move different directions, we were faced with like, okay, so what do we do now? Keith was about to head off to New York for a little bit. I was about to head back to Charlotte for a bit. So we came up with like, if we do this, we have to do it. We have to be serious about it. And we have to give it a solid effort. And that's when we started moving more towards short films and web series and whatnot.
Okay. Keith, at one point you were going to acting school in New York, right?
Yeah, I was in the New York Film Academy for a year in 2011.
Okay, so I know at one point, so you were doing that. And then I think the second year you were supposed to go to LA.
But you, right. Yeah, I was supposed to.
Ended up in Wilmington go ahead. A little bit. Wilmington, North Carolina for a little bit. So what happened there? Did you not finish the acting school, or did you put it on hold indefinitely, or what was that?
Well, the program was a 2-year program, and after the first year of me doing it, it got to the point where it was really expensive, and I feel like being in New York, I wasn't going to be able to – I could barely afford going to school there in New York, so I don't know. So the idea of even going to L.A. and doing it all over again was just out of this world.
Right.
So my initial plan was to just move back home to Charlotte to try to like work my craft there before I moved here to LA. And in the middle of being moved here, I got an offer to work to a DJ in a nightclub in Wilmington 5 nights a week. And I took that as an opportunity to use as a networking opportunity for Screw Up TV, because granted, we have great material. We have great people who we work with and we have an awesome vision, but none of that's worth anything if nobody's really able to connect with that. So I took a position, the position as a DJ, and I used that as, okay, I know people are entertained with me as a DJ, so they'll pay attention to me and they'll listen to what I have to say. So this is a way that I can kind of brush Screw Up TV onto them.
That's and so smart.
Give and like push the idea of like who we are and how we handle things and how we like to, you know, present ourselves. I mean, just because I was the DJ, I didn't want people to think I was just your average DJ to where I'm just going to play your music. I'm going to be the only guy in the nightclub that's going to get all the girls because I'm playing the music. none of that was really a factor of mine when I was there. It was just more of a, look, I've got a message and I'm in a position to where people will listen to this message. So why not take advantage of that?
Perfect. So for the creators out there that are listening right now, whatever they're involved in is always kind of an opportunity to leverage what their job is and maybe kind of get the message out there of what they're working on.
Exactly. Like, everybody's somebody, you know, and if you treat yourself that way, that you are somebody, especially to another creative person, that's just going to radiate off you just naturally. So there's never a moment where you should be intimidated with yourself because you feel that you're not in the position you want to be in. You should just use that as like a fueling agent to get to where you'd like to be, if that makes any sense.
That's really inspirational, man. That's really cool. You know, I feel like, you know, not everyone is going to be super ambitious all the time. What's your advice for people out there that are like, I'm a creator, I want to work on things that I'm passionate about, but sometimes I just kind of feel stuck and I'm in a rut, in that creative kind of rut. Like, what can they do to get out of that?
I think a lot about why I do what I do, you know, like, why do I write and entertain? You know, it's one of those things where I'm like, this is what I feel I'm supposed to do. So if that's what I'm supposed to do, you know, I'm not going to grow up, you know, I mean, I'm not going to grow up and do, like, I have no chance of being a doctor or anything like that. So it's almost like I know that if I continue to do this, this is what's going to make me happy. You know, like this is what's going to make me the happiest. And my goal in life is to be happy. You know, I want to be happy. I want everybody around me to be happy. I want everybody to be happy. So I'm always like, do what you feel that you're supposed to do. So and a lot of people get distracted by, you know, people around them, situations around them. So the best time for you to work on you is when you're by yourself. You know, personally, I'll be completely by myself, you know, and I'll take time where I'm like, okay, so I haven't written anything, or I've had this thing that I've been holding off for a long time. Let me just get in front of the computer. I don't feel like writing anything, but let me just start writing and see what happens. That immediately starts chiseling away the creative wall or block that might have been blocking you from doing anything prior. Like, the more that you think about, oh man, I would love to do this, but I got to make rent, or I would love to do this, but I'm too tired. Like, you're doing nothing more but giving that wall like more strength and more power. Like, in the end, you're just making yourself be unhappy. Like, if you want to be unhappy, by all means, you know, forget your dreams. Right. But like, in order to be, I feel inspired, you know, do it for yourself. Do it to see, okay, like, what if I do fail? I'll never know. So, I mean, me and Keith have, like, over the past 5 years of Screw Up TV, we've taken many losses, many L's. But
what do you say, like, when you say losses, what do you mean, like, financially or just kind of, like, times?
Well, like, I mean, we've had moments where we thought that, like, for example, we went to a film festival out in Tennessee about a year ago?
About
a year and a half ago, something like that. And the entire trip down there, we're like, yo, man, we've got a product. We've got a product that we know people like, because we've already built a bit of a network. We've already got people who've said they like it. Like, this is the time where we should be pitching our product to people who can take it to the next level. And once we got there, people were interested in everything. But we didn't have what they needed from us. And we weren't aware of that, because it was all just a process of, in order to succeed, you've got to fail a million times. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really, like, I've heard that growing up, and I've heard that from acting teachers and regular teachers, but it's never really like,
it never hits you.
Yeah, it doesn't hit you until you actually start taking the things that you love and things that you feel and doing it, and then people saying, ah, that's not for me.
Gotcha.
But you can't take that as a, like, you can't take that personally, as a, well, if it doesn't work for them, it doesn't work at all.
Yeah.
Because that's not the case.
Everybody, like, has opinions, and at the end of the day, you're doing it for yourself.
Right. 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 So it's important not to get discouraged too easily, because those failures are part of that.
Yeah, like, you want to take, like, everything that you, every project that you feel, everything that you feel, and if you're trying to express anything, I would suggest that you just got to express it in the best way that you can express it.
Exactly.
That's the only way anybody's going to really understand what you're trying to sell them. It's not like you have to say the right words or anything. Just make people feel what you feel. If mm-hmm. you think something's hilarious, yeah. you're like, yo, people have got to hear this. People have got to see this. You need to give it to them.
And keep going.
Yeah, and regardless until... if they laugh at it or not, if you think it's good, that's how you get the best out of it. You can be right. Like, I look at a lot of people in this world, like I get a lot of my writing ideas and a lot of my like situational ideas from just observing other people. And a lot of people who want to create or want to do anything, they tend to just like PJ was saying earlier, they just come up with some sort of excuse that stops them. But like me personally, I come from like next to nothing growing up. And me and my brothers have been doing film work since I was like 9, 10 years old. And it's only like if you don't have something, that doesn't mean that the project or the idea can't happen. You've got to mm-hmm. make that happen. And if you want it that bad, you will find a way to make that happen. There's nothing wrong with how you do it as long as the job is done.
Mm. Gotcha.
Like there are million-dollar movies right now that are out, blockbuster hits. And I've talked to people who've worked on them who have told me things like, yeah, man, we had to do this dolly shot where we didn't have the dolly working. So we just put the camera on a towel and just pulled the towel.
It's like a million-dollar movie.
It's a million-dollar movie that people aren't aware of these things because they don't care how it was done.
They're just mystified by what they see, and they don't realize it's real people who didn't start off rich, who just found ways to make what they needed to happen with what gotcha. They had.
Yeah, like the first thing you want to think is, okay, I want to do this idea where whatever your idea may come up with. You don't want to think of, but I don't have the money for it. But I don't have the people for it. But I don't have this. You need to just think about, okay, what do I need to do to get the money? If I don't have anything to do to get the money, what can I do to get the things that I need that cost money in a way without having to spend money? Can I borrow it from somebody? Can I build my own? Mm-hmm. Can I steal it?
So you're being resourceful, basically. Yeah,
right,
yeah.
Exactly. Steal, guys. That's what I'm saying. No, please don't steal. But no, you've got to be resourceful, like you're saying. You've got to just believe in yourself, if anything, and do it for yourself because you've got nothing to prove to nobody but yourself. And that's the only way that anybody's going to take you seriously at all. You got to make them feel.
You got to take yourself seriously before anybody else takes you seriously.
Yeah, if you don't feel it, then nobody else is going to feel it.
We've all heard of doctors who want to be doctors literally since like the first grade and get to college, and they fail one class and they're like, it's not mm-hmm. for me. You're like, well, it might be for you, yeah. But you just gave up too fast, and now you're going to be stuck. Even if you settle for something else, you're not going to be as happy as you probably could have if you would have stuck to it, overcame whatever you couldn't do and passed that class and still became,
yeah,
you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Absolutely.
That's one thing that, like, you know, I think both of us are tired of seeing is people letting go of their dreams too early, people kind of conforming with the ways of the world or giving up and saying, you know what? Life too short, YOLO. I'm not gonna try to live my dream. I'm just gonna have fun, and you'll have fun for a little bit of time. But you know, once like the bills start coming in, and you're 33, right. You know, and like, well, now I have to get a job here at Ralph's or
yeah,
McDonald's.
Like a lot of people like to let other people's opinions stop them from what they want to do or where they want to go.
And now you can't get to where you want to get to
exactly.
because you've let everybody else affect your mindset.
Gotcha. Yeah, you've got to understand that everybody else doesn't matter mm-hmm. if you're trying to express something that you feel like you shouldn't let the things that people are saying or doing hinder or affect what you're doing. They should do nothing but just fuel it. And they mm-hmm. should just push you more to doing it because mm-hmm. I see people on TV, I see movies and I see TV shows where I personally say to myself, Keith, man, you could do that role easy. Keith, you could write that script easy and make that much money off of it or make people feel that way. But I never say you could do that, but they're already doing it, so I can't do it. I gotta just, I guess, yeah. you know, work some way.
Yeah.
And it's nothing wrong with
yeah,
that. You know?
I mean, if you love making sandwiches, you know, by all means, I want you to make sandwiches. But if you want to be a dancer and then you end up making sandwiches, you need to quit making sandwiches and start
yes.
dancing.
Yeah. Aside from just having to do it, you can't really tell yourself you can't do something because other people are doing it because. You know, what hasn't been done already? To be
like,
completely original in this world is not very easy. And like you can take something that's been done and add your own spin to it and it's still creative.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And people don't even look at that as like as like you just taking it from something to spin it off. Because
have you seen Avatar?
Exactly.
That's like Pocahontas. And Avatar is an amazing movie. He took an idea and said, that's a cool movie, but I can make him blue. I can take him out. I can take him to out of this random planet and make it awesome. You made nothing new.
Yeah, you didn't make anything new, but it's new to the common eye. You know what I'm saying? Because you believe that it's something different and people like it. You know what I'm saying? So you never want to just
write something off because you think it's been done.
Exactly.
That's good advice for sure. I want to ask you guys, I think you touched briefly on working at Subway, and that made me think a big concern of a lot of people, or for a lot of people, is how can I go for what I want to do if I can't afford it? So like, you guys moved to LA, how are you guys making it work for you financially? I mean, my guess is that you're not already making tons of money, as talented as you are.
Oh no, we're rich.
We're rich. All the money.
I just picked up $1 million check. You know?
I mean, we came out here prepared to struggle, prepared to have to work really hard, prepared to have to, you know, not live luxuriously. Sure. Like, I mean, in Charlotte, I was doing really good. Keith was doing awesome. And we were like, okay, like, it's cool living like this, but this isn't what we want. Like, what we want in the bigger picture is more important than trying to fit in and be cool and go to all the bars every night and buy everybody drinks and everything. Sure. That's only momentary. Like, we can do that at the end of the road.
Yeah.
Right now it's like, you know, we have to eat to get to tomorrow, but we also have this money that we have here saved up for sending something off to a festival.
Okay, so your plan was going to LA. You saved up some money before you did so. Did you give yourself like a 3 to 6 month cushion, or was it longer, or what?
We had like a date, and then it got to the point where it was like, okay, I think we're just gonna go ahead and move it up faster, because I think it just worked out better for both of us timing wise to move it up. Like, I think originally I wanted to move out here maybe in May, but because of the way everything worked out, February was more viable, and it gave us enough time to get things that we wanted to get taken care of out east, and be able to have something to come to out here, because we have a few friends out here who we let know that we're coming out here and be ready to actually work. So we kind of tried to set something up out here before we got out here, if that makes any sense.
And Keith, you said you are working a couple of part-time jobs, right? Or are you working just one, or?
Yeah. Right now, like I come from, when I was in Wilmington, I worked 5 nights a week at Sidebar, and I was there for like, I was told to be there at like 10:30. I would walk in at like 10:50 whenever I wanted, play the music for a few hours, go home. And every week I'd make like $600-$700. Uh-huh. And my rent's like, what, $400-$500. I was living it easy. I could have done that for 10-15 years. But once I came to that point and I knew, okay, yeah, the money's good, you know, the environment's okay, but this isn't what I want to do with my life. That was more than enough for me to be able to drop that and drop all of my pride, all of the like risk, humility, and all that. Because
you had built
stuff
up a network. You already had many people here.
Exactly.
So leaving that was probably a little scary, because it was a pretty big comfort zone for you.
Yeah, it definitely was. It was scary, but it was more so like I tried to let the fear just dissipate. And I tried to tell myself more, look, like, if you can pull this off, it's going to be something that you've never imagined before. It's going to be 20 times what Sidebar was. And so moving out here, now I work with a entertainment company that I DJ and dance and MC like bar mitzvahs and birthday parties and corporate events and stuff like that. And on the side of that, I just picked up waiting tables at a Buffalo Wild Wings, which is at your average everyday jobs. But I'm doing that because I know that I've got to do these things. I've got to do what I got to do in order to do what I want to do. And
that's perfect.
Yeah. Like, and I'm working, and I know that like, if I work these few years at B-Dubs and this entertainment company, I'll be able to start making money to put these films on. And at the same time, waiting tables, I'm meeting people, I'm working my craft. Like, even at Buffalo Wild Wings, I do a thing where, depending on the table, I'll act like a different person just to work on my own acting ability to see if they're like actually registering me and believing, is this guy really, you know, who he appears to be, or is this some sort of joke? And that's only making me a better actor. So
it probably makes it work a lot more fun for you too.
Yeah, it does, exactly, because I'm not the kind of guy that wants to wait tables the rest of my life. Just like the dancer who wants to work at Subway doesn't want to work at Subway. So it's no problem to work at Subway, but as long as you're working your craft and making it better, you know what I'm saying? So I'm there. I'm at Buffalo Wild Wings, what, 4 or 5 days of the week, and I'm there for 8, 9 hour days. And that to most would sound like hell, but I'm not thinking about that part. I'm thinking about what the result is going to become, what I'm going to be able to do outside of that. Once that part of the job is done. And it makes things 20 times easier. Like Nike said, just do it. You
know? Gotcha. Gotcha. Well, this has been awesome, guys. I want to close with asking you guys, what advice would you give to creators out there that are trying to, and I feel like we kind of covered it already when you say just do it, but if there's any other advice you have for people out there that are just kind of like, you know, I really want to do this. I don't want to live this, you know, this status quo lifestyle. Any tips for them and any resources that have helped you at all?
Well, I mean, as far as like the whole, like, just do it thing, I know it's one thing coming from us, but 4 years ago when I graduated college, I went up to New York, and one of the seminars that I listened to was somebody just saying, you know, just do your own stuff. Just do your own stuff. I'm like, okay, cool. So we're kind of already on the right track. And then we get out here, and literally everybody out here is saying, just do your own stuff. Just do your own. Like, it's something that's becoming more conscious in the world, which is awesome to see, because like now people aren't going to, you know, rely on big corporations to help them realize their dreams. So when we say, you know, just do it. I mean, we mean exactly that. Like you had your own thing, you know, you were able to flip a coin and do exactly what you wanted to do. And that has worked out amazingly. And to be honest, to those listening, like it's probably one of the scariest things you can do. You know, for us to literally drop everything, like leave our family, everything that we've ever known. We've only been out to the West Coast one time before we came out here, and we were kids. Right. And so, like, in order to leave everything, to drop everything that we were comfortable with and move out here was extremely scary. But we knew what was going to come out of it. We knew that if we don't do this, we'll either A, regret it for the rest of our lives, or B, always wonder what if. And that's probably one of the worst things that you can do is wonder what if, because you can't ever go back in time. Like, time's always going forward. You can't ever change something you did. So make decisions thinking like, okay, this is like, what if my life went, like, if you actually think of life as the game of life, you know, see what happens. Like, okay, well, I just rolled a 6. Let me move to LA and see what happens. Hopefully I don't end up, you know, back in jail, or, you know, don't pass go. But, you know, we got out here and we just embraced it. We took everything in, and, you know, it's working probably better than we thought it was going to work out. Like, once we moved out here, and it's going to do nothing but continue to get better. And until the next big crossroads come where we have to make another like life changing decision, and we'll take that again. Like we're constantly gonna make decisions to enhance our lives at the best way possible. Otherwise, you risk living a stale life that you're not happy with. That even if you're content, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're happy. Right. You know. And as an artist, just having the fact that, okay, I missed an opportunity, and now I might be living like less of a happy life than I could have been living. That would drive me insane. Yeah. And so even if I was making $100,000 a year working 9 to 5, I'd probably end up jumping off the 13th floor window.
You know? Okay. Yeah. I can relate to that. I can totally understand that.
You've jumped before, right?
Awesome. Thanks, PJ. Keith, do you have anything to add to that?
Some people think it's scary to go out and be creative, to take your idea and express it to people. But that's nothing in comparison to when you actually do something and 100,000 people say, yeah, that is awesome. Mm-hmm. That's even scarier, because now you've got to maintain this thing. You're in a position
now people know.
Yeah, people are like, yo, you are actually like really creative. That's really good. And you're like, oh, well, holy crap. Now I'm in a position to where if I drop the ball, people really can say things about me. The things that I've been scared of all this time is going to happen because I succeeded. People always people are always like letting other people's judgments and actions and things just get in their way. And I mean, I'm guilty of it too. I'm not pointing any fingers at anyone, because the creative part of you just has to be able to take over. You can't get in your head and tell yourself, look, this just isn't, you know, this isn't right for me to do. Like, it's okay for me to, it's a thought, but I don't really want to, you know, put it out there. No, you need to put it out there. If you want to be a creator not creating will kill himself, yeah. herself. Yeah. And that's just unhealthy.
It's just unhealthy. It's not
healthy. Yeah. You're killing that creative energy that once existed within you.
Exactly. Like I look for the same kind of advice. Like I've looked online, I've read books, I've had, like, I've gone to seminars, and I'm always looking for the answer of what should I do so people will hear what I've got to say and believe in the things I've got to do. Mm-hmm. And the same thing that keeps being said to me is just do what you do. Just keep making your art the best you can make that art. Mm-hmm. Keep striving, keep showing, there's no formula to being a creator. Mm-hmm. It's just do it.
Just do it. Yeah. That's the main theme.
Just take. We're about to get sued by Nike.
Guys, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show today and sharing your story. I think it's been really, really inspirational. And hopefully the people who are listening to this show will definitely kind of get a kick in the ass there from this pep talk and be like, you know what? I really do just have to do it, because that's really the biggest message that I'm getting from talking to you all is just, you know, it's not going to magically happen. You have to do something about it. Mm-hmm. So and progress is motivational. When you see that people are taking notice to your work, it makes you want to do it more. All right. So to everyone listening, once again, that is Keith Wellborn and PJ Barnes with screwuptv.com is their website. And is there anywhere else that you would like for the listeners to kind of visit, any kind of sites or projects that you're going on?
Screwuptv.com. That's going to have all of our up-to-date projects and everything. As for all of our short films, I mean, we also have a YouTube. Subscribe to our YouTube. We actually just rebooted it like last week. So all new subscribers, the channel Screw Up TV, Kibo, Instagram.
Yeah, definitely. Like, you can stay up to date with us on, like on our Instagrams and on our Twitters. We post on those every hour of the day, you know, try to just saying creative things. Like whenever I have a creative thought, you know, I'll tweet that or something like that. So you can definitely follow us. My Twitter is, DJ Kibo. PJ's Twitter is Plymouth Jones. Is there any underscores or anything crazy?
I'll definitely link Twitter.
You do all that. But yeah, you can link
HTTP.
/:. But yeah, I mean, definitely follow us on Twitter, follow us on Instagram, follow us on our website. Follow us around the house if you get that close. That'd be kind of weird. But yeah, I mean, I'm always creating. PJ's always creating. So if you ever want to just watch creation
or work with us
I mean, we're always down to work with creators out here, especially in LA. Like we're little fish in this huge ocean of talented people. Like LA has got so many talented people in it, and that doesn't that and things like that shouldn't scare a creator. It should just motivate you know what I'm saying. Absolutely. So yeah, great, guys, we'll be around.
Okay, guys, yeah, thanks a lot for being on the show, and hopefully we can talk soon. I'll let you guys know when this podcast is up.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having us, Kevin. You are the man, man. Hope to see you soon. We'll do some more work, do some more music,
Absolutely. We'll definitely talk soon, guys.
All right, brother.
I'll see you guys later.
All right, later, my friend.
Okay, thanks for listening, everyone. If you enjoyed the show, please rate and review this podcast on iTunes. You can also subscribe to our email updates so I can stay in touch with you on upcoming interviews, projects, and other exciting things. And as always, I would love to hear from you. So leave a comment in the comment section and tell us if their story has inspired you in any way. Thanks so much for listening. Talk to you soon.